You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
The Knicks are actually in a situation they haven't been in a long time. People want to coach the Knicks. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN, friends. Welcome to this Thursday evening edition of Carlin right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. You can call us at 800-919-3776. You could tweet us at Chris Carlin as well. We will get to Major League Baseball. Just shouldn't even bother with the season and why in just a little while. We will at some point get to the Drew Brees apology. We will get to the return of the NBA. And thankfully, the Knicks will not be a part of that, because I think we can all agree we have seen enough of Knicks basketball this year. But let us actually start with these New York Knicks and the fact that people want to coach the Knicks. So the latest is that Mike Woodson, Woody himself, is right back in the mix. Of course, we know that Mike Woodson was the last coach when the Knicks went to the playoffs and won 54 games 8 years ago. Of course, we know that Mike Woodson did a very good job with the Knicks, with Carmelo Anthony in a power forward position, really created mismatches, loved what he did then, and then bizarrely against the Pacers went away from what he was doing with two point guards and all that. But the point is this: Mike Woodson is a good NBA coach, and I don't think the Knicks could go wrong there. I don't think the Knicks could go wrong with Kenny Atkinson. Why, this is an excellent position for a guy like Kenny Atkinson. What's the knock on what happened over in Brooklyn? That maybe they didn't feel like Kenny Atkinson was the guy to take them to that next level. That he was somebody that could bring them to a certain level, could develop younger players very well, could really get the most out of guys, could turn Joe Harris into one of the premier three-point shooters in the game, could really help guys like Spencer Dinwiddie become big-time players in this league. But ultimately, maybe he's not the guy that you want when you're ready to go start winning and you've been able to attract superstars there. But nonetheless, a very good coach, a guy who's very respected in NBA circles, and I think somebody that can position you well for the future. You've got Tom Thibodeau, who wants the job. And Tom Thibodeau is somebody that you might look at in his past and say, well, he's had run-ins with players and they didn't necessarily want to deal with his hard-edged personality. Well, this is job number three for Tom Thibodeau if he comes here. This is a guy who won 60 games in Chicago. This is a guy with a career winning percentage of well over 500. And somebody that I think that would walk in the door and would give the Knicks instant credibility from a coaching standpoint. And then we forget about the name because it hasn't been brought up as much lately, and maybe it won't be part of the mix. But Jeff Van Gundy is certainly another name that you shouldn't forget, even though I think it's more likely at this point that he's going to end up coaching the Houston Rockets if Mike D'Antoni is out after this year. I think that's definitely a lot more possible. But think about that. You've got four established NBA coaches who don't just want to have any job. You know, if you're Tom Thibodeau, right, and you're still getting paid by the Minnesota Timberwolves, you want to coach again, there's no doubt. But you also want to put yourself in a position to win. I don't think you go and you take just any job. I don't think you go if you're Mike Woodson and you take just any job. I don't think you do that if you're Kenny Atkinson. I don't think you do that if you're Jeff Van Gundy. So what all of a sudden makes the Knicks an actual attractive job? The answer is simple. It's Leon Rose. Now, we could sit here and discuss how he has no general manager history, how he's been an agent. That's just not that important, to be honest, right now in the league. He's brought in some good lieutenants, some good basketball people. He's surrounding himself with the right kind of people, scouting gurus, people who understand the draft. You know, keeping Scott Perry for a year, considering the situation, not the worst thing in the world to do. He didn't go rush into hiring somebody else. He kept somebody here who understood what you're trying to do. There's no learning curve there for Scott Perry, really, as there might be for somebody else. I think that has made the Knicks a desirable job once again. And let's be fair. That's really saying something, isn't it? That's really saying something about the history of the organization, the fact that it fell out of favor in league circles, the fact that you still may have some issues when it comes to attracting free agents. You certainly don't love what went on this week from a Madison Square Garden standpoint, but you can't argue with what their hiring history has been when it comes to minorities. They have been one of the leaders in that department in the NBA for many, many years. So with all of that in mind, I think that you have to understand, as low as they had dropped, Leon Rose's name has brought them back, has given them a cachet, frankly, that they have not had in a long time. You know what it's got me? Buckle up, okay? Think about this for a second. It's got me excited about the future of the New York Knicks. Is that possible? Apparently it is. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to go win a championship anytime soon. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're climbing out of the lottery in the next year or two. What I am going to tell you is that respected basketball people understand what's in place, who's in charge, and who's been given the opportunity to be in charge here. And assuming that's going to stay the case, they want to be here. Folks, over the last 10 years, that hasn't always been the case. It truly hasn't. You can look at the history over the last several years. You can look at David Fizdale thinking that he was coming here and he was going to be able to attract all these top free agents. He hasn't. You can look at a guy like Jeff Hornacek, who was the coach. And was he somebody that was a top name that you thought of, that you thought, this is a guy that can make a huge difference for us? No. No. Derek Fisher came straight off the court to be a head coach. Mike D'Antoni was not very good here. You know, Mike D'Antoni won 40 games once. Isaiah Thomas said, welcome to the playoffs. Those guys were, you know, with D'Antoni in particular, he was just trying to be back in the league. You know, he's been a guy that's been around a little bit. Woodson's been around a little bit, but he's respected. D'Antoni's respected. All I'm saying is that it hasn't been the most desirable situation over the last 7 or 8 years. Guys always want to be a head coach, right? But they don't want to be in a bad situation. There's a difference. There's the whiff of desperation. And then there's putting yourself in a position to be successful. The Knicks, the job all of a sudden doesn't feel like, for coaches who want the gig, that there's the whiff of desperation with them. It feels more like they're excited because they see what might be an opportunity. Think about that for a minute. How remarkable is that? It's been some time. So whether it's Thibodeau, who I think has a pretty good overall track record, even though he's had his issues with some players before, he's a smart guy at 62 years old that can learn from this. Whether it's Woodson, I think Thibodeau's 62, I'll double check on that. Whether it's Woodson, who is, yes, he is 62. Whether it's Woodson, who is somebody who's coached here before, has had success. Whether it's Kenny Atkinson, who, say what you will, developed a lot of players over in Brooklyn and got the most out of his guys. Or even Jeff Van Gundy, if he wanted to be back. If he wanted to be here. And I think there's always been a part of him that wanted to be here. I'm just not sure that they want him to be here, even though he's close with Leon Rose. Bottom line is there are guys that are lining up to try to get this job. And it's not because they need a job desperately. I like that. I'm excited by that. Are you actually feeling good about where this could be headed? I think you should be. 800-919-3776. Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. We hit the calls right out of the gate. Open lines. So get on board. Also on Twitter, at Chris Carlin. Full show tonight. That's right. Your little Twitter whisper. Yes. Also this evening, Major League Baseball. Wah, wah. The new situation with the NBA lottery actually plays to the Knicks' favor a little bit. And we have virtually all the details and the return of the NBA. And from a baseball standpoint, they are not thinking about the return of the NBA. They ought to be.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Wildest dreams a reality. After all, anything can happen in New Jersey. 800-919-3776. Baseball should just quit for the year. So I came to this conclusion today. Do me a favor. First up, I want you to hear from Buster Olney. From earlier today, he was on with Bart and Hahn this afternoon, and he sums up pretty succinctly what's going on and how bad things have gotten.
The working relationship between the two sides is the worst that it's been in 25 years. And I got to tell you, you know, the worst possible conclusion this summer for baseball would be no baseball at all. The second worst would be what we might be barreling toward right now, which is potential for Rob Manfred, based on a March 26 agreement with the union, essentially ramming a 50-game schedule down the throats of the players, you know, essentially tell them, look, okay, we're going to pay you your full salary, but we're going to limit the number of games to limit the amount of money that we lose, and essentially kick the can down the road on all the labor issues that they have into 2021 when there's an expiring CBA. So next year we can talk about a possible player strike and another agreement and the whole thing, and it really is ugly. And I've used this comparison before, but I think it's apt. They do remind you as if they're like two second cousins arguing loudly in the back pew of a memorial service, given everything that's going on right now, right. And it's terrible.
It is an utter disaster. We've heard from Tom Ricketts with dumb comments this week. We're not sitting on a pile of cash because we have it all tied up in other places. How dare we have to reach back to, you know, the money that we've made in the past? That the Cubs could actually lose money because they spent so much redoing their skyboxes and the locker room and all that. Don't really care. Don't really care that players are losing millions and millions of dollars for a season. There are a lot of players that I do care about, and the majority of them are the ones that are on the lower end that are making less than $1 million? Because you might sit there and say it's still a great amount of money, and it absolutely is. There's no question about that. I think we'd all be fine if we were making $1 million, but the thing you'd understand, that I would at least try to understand, is making $1 million in a year does not set you up for life. And as crazy as that sounds, it's true. And 65% of the players are in that position right now, where they're making $1 million or less. So, do me a favor. Just go away. Number one, I just don't care to listen to you anymore. I don't care to listen about Major League Baseball owners and players going back and forth or not going back and forth, as the latest situation with the owners in their, quote, good faith negotiations that they screamed and yelled to have, they now haven't even countered an offer from the players with their cute little negotiating tactics. Yeah, that's great. So, number one, I don't care about what you're doing anymore. I don't. I got the NBA coming. I'll be more than happy to watch that. I'll watch the hockey. You know, am I the biggest hockey fan on the planet? Absolutely not. Do I respect everything they've done to get back on the ice? I absolutely do. And I think Gary Bettman has done a good job this year of trying to navigate this. And he's put together, with everybody involved, with the players and such, a good plan to play again. And I have my respect for that through this entire pandemic, that they have made it work. The NBA has gone out of their way to make it work. The NFL has plenty of flaws. Plenty of flaws. At the very least, you know, they made the right call on continuing with free agency because we became numb to those numbers. They made the right call on the draft because we wanted to hear about it. We wanted something to be entertained by, and the draft did that for us for a while. And frankly, the way they did it was fantastic. Now you want to have a 50-game major league season. I want you to keep something in mind. The shortest ever major league season that we've had was in 1981, and it was 107 games. We are scrapping and clawing to try to get to half a year. And the owners, because of all the money they're going to lose by playing in front of no fans, want to play 50 games. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not going to be hypocritical about it. We will obviously watch. I will watch because you will watch. You will care because you're Yankee fans, you're Met fans. We all want to see our teams, and we all miss it. We'll watch. We certainly won't treat it with any true importance or respect. Certainly will not respect a champion in any way. And frankly, a Major League Baseball champion wouldn't deserve our respect this year. In no way. You're going to play less than a third of the games in a 162-game season? You know, part of the respect that a Major League Baseball champion earns is the fact that they have earned it over the course of a long season, an entire six-month period, and then have gone into the postseason and run the gauntlet there to go win a championship. So if you're going to play a 50-game season and name somebody a World Series champion after they win a little playoff tournament, that's disrespecting the marathon of the year. That's disrespecting the game. I mean, it is supposed to mean something, right? To be a World Series champion. This would mean absolutely nothing. Even if your team won a title. Let's talk about that for a moment. How would you feel about that? Would you be celebrating up and down? Would you be screaming in the streets? Would you be trying to get into Manhattan for a Yankee parade or a Met parade? There'd be people there, sure. But would you feel like it was a real championship? If it were my team, I really wouldn't. And I know that there are teams out there that have never won championships. It's rare that I will reference it. As some of you may know, I am actually a Texas Rangers fan. I'll tell you another story about how I got there at some point. I came within a strike on two occasions of winning a World Series and came up empty. Twice in the same game. Within a strike of a championship. I don't need to relive that, but the point is, as you look at it, if I were to have my team, the Rangers, who have never won a championship before, win a World Series this year, it would mean absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not to me. It'd be cute. It'd be like winning the first half of the year. Woo! Big deal. You know what? Rob Manfred would actually be right. Remember a few months ago during the whole Astros thing when he called it a piece of scrap metal or a piece of metal, whatever he called the World Series trophy that ticked everybody off? If I won that thing in a 50-game season, I put it in the garage next to the tire pump and the beer cooler. Stick it right next to the spare freezer. Hell, why not just throw it in the freezer? That way you take it out, you can smash it easily. It would mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. So while it would serve to entertain me for a little bit, I got the NBA for that. I got the NHL for that. I got football for that in the fall. And the biggest issue of all for Major League Baseball is that your little labor problem here isn't going away. You've got it at the end of next year. And there's something that you're not paying attention to. That's the NBA playing during the summer. I wonder if that's going to work out for them. If maybe they might end up doing that instead. What do you think? If they like the way that looks, and they're going to start up next season on Christmas Day, moving forward, maybe they wouldn't mind playing from Christmas through, the end of August to right when football season starts. And then you can remind us you got your little World Series there. That's great. This is a baseball town. If you respected a 50-game champion, you're not a New York baseball fan. Hell, you're not a baseball fan. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, would you respect a champion? Do you think they should just not bother? Because I have come to that point. They shouldn't even bother to have a season.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Baseball just shouldn't even bother. Pack it in. We'll see you next February when you can have your little spring training and then start bitching and moaning at each other again about how nobody's making any money. Stop. Shut up. Go away. We're done. Let's hit the phones on this. Justice in the Bronx. What's up, brother? How are you?
Yo, Carl, how you doing today, my brother? I'm sorry good. To go so hard at you yesterday, but how are you doing today?
No, you should.
I missed you up.
That's all good.
Just being always honest with my opinions, man.
No,
Matter of fact, I'm going to start off.
It's never like that, man. That's what we're here for. We're here to argue. We're here to have fun. We're here to talk about sports. We're here to talk about society. We're here to talk about important things.
But if you notice, I wasn't arguing.
Not important things.
It was my true statement. I didn't argue yesterday. I gave you my true statement. There's no argument with Carl. Carl's on the move. I'm loving him. Okay, you know what? So let me start out with sports today. All right, baseball, yeah, stop it. You want to talk about money? Go ahead. Deal with that. Nobody has money right now, so we'll leave that alone. Basketball, football, yeah, I love to see it. I need the engagements. I love the sport. I play ball all my life, and I love it. I actually told the man that I spoke to before you, yo, Carl, you keep rocking with how you rocking, man. If it doesn't matter and you don't know, you're going to tell you, I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? You tell me what you know. That's it. And I love that. Overall, you already know what's going on. It's a wave of negativity. But I guarantee right now, you on the station, Larry, everybody else coming behind you, yo, that's all positive. So you can't negate what you guys are doing. At the end of the day, yo, baseball, go ahead, stop, man. Y'all being greedy, go ahead, do what y'all do. Football-wise, I need you back. Drew Brees, my man, go read some more, man. You know, matter of fact, call your grandfather, let him talk to you a little bit more about it. And then other than that, yo, basketball-wise, yo, Knicks fan all day, yo, I'm sad for you. But, yo, now you got like about like a year and a half to prepare. You come out with bullshit after a year and a half. It's like, yo, are you serious?
I got to let you go after that. Yo, Justice, you can't swear, though. You're killing me there. You can't swear. And I know it was an accident. I know it was an accident because I'd be saying the same thing. But I'm with you. That's just protocol. You got it, though. Anyway, I get the point. You know, it truly is as simple as that. If you can't figure it out in the middle of all this, you don't deserve to play. You don't deserve each other. You don't deserve any kind of respect from us whatsoever. You really don't. So just, if you can't agree, and you can't even find your way to play half a season, just go away. That's all. It's not hard. 800-919-3776. Phil in White Plains. Phil, what's going on?
Chris Carlin, thank you for taking my call. You'll remember the date. I won't, but I remember the day of your debut. And I thought...
On ESPN?
Yeah.
It was after the Giants-Cardinals game. I don't remember the date.
Whatever it was, I remember hearing your voice, what you came across with. It was great. I said, this is good, and you have your own show, and I'm very happy for you. It is wonderful.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Good stuff.
I appreciate that.
Baseball, they're cutting their nose to spite their faces. They should have games, even if they don't charge anybody anything. They took away doubleheaders. The kids can't watch the games because they're too late. They're killing their future. They don't see what they're doing, and it's bad. It's like football and basketball. Everything is going to take over, and they're going to remember and, you know, go back to with the Houston Astros and all that other prop. I mean, they've got a real image problem, and they're not doing anything to make it better. It's just getting worse and worse.
But Phil, that's the thing. It's getting worse and worse, and it doesn't seem to bother them in the least. Like, I haven't heard from anybody that has spoken out, whether it's Scott Boras, whether it's Tony Clark, whether it's the owners, Ricketts, the COO out in Arizona a couple of days ago. I haven't heard anybody address the fact that this is going on when it's going on, and they seem to have no care whatsoever
Nobody
about the fact that this is
happening. Nobody is talking about the love of baseball. Nobody is talking about the love of baseball. They're talking about
because they're not giving us a reason to love it right now.
No, I understand. But there are people who love it, and those...
Appreciate the call, Phil. We lost you there. You know, when it comes to Major League Baseball, they honestly... they could screw up a one-man race. They really could. Oof. What's a simple thing you can screw up? Mac and cheese. You could burn mac and cheese. Like, you know, in the little cup and or in the little box, craft box that, you know what I'm saying. Doug in Long Beach is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Chris, how we doing today?
Now I want mac and cheese, Doug. That's a problem.
I'll take a beverage, though, instead of mac and cheese.
I could use a cold one, that's for sure.
No, I got one going for you. But all right, so I'm a lifelong Dodger fan. And, you know, I was alive and well when they won in 88, obviously. But I've suffered throughout and throughout. And this year was supposed to be our year, you know, addition to bets, the depth we have. So in terms of... will I consider them, say baseball comes back, will I consider them a champion? Yes. But I will say this. If they steamroll everybody in the playoffs, it'll mean a lot more than they snuck by, they won a game seven, they won a game five, or however, whatever they deem the length of the playoffs. What do you think about that? If a team comes through and just completely destroys everybody.
Let me ask you this question. How are you going to feel when a Giants fan, San Francisco Giants fan, or whoever your friends in your life are, who are your nemesis fan friends, how are you going to feel when they tell you your championship means nothing?
Yeah, that would sting, but what did your team do?
Yeah, no, I understand, but like, all right, let's say it's a Giants fan. Well, my team won 3 championships in 6 years, so I you know, we could play a little catch up for a while.
Yeah, true.
This is my point is you have to have some level of importance with a championship. And if you're only going to play a 50-game season, it's cheapening the whole thing. Even if you steamroll them, you haven't gone through at least, at the very least, a half a season. And even then, like, the shortest season that's ever been played before was roughly 106 games in 1981. You know,
yeah,
and they played 2 halves is how they figured that out. So, you know, for me, that's not right. That it's disrespecting your past champions to call a team the world champion.
I agree. But this is the one thing, and I agree where you're coming from with this because, and I thought about it, the Dodgers won, would I wear that hat or that championship shirt?
Are you running to buy it?
No, I wouldn't. And that kind of makes me. That's the one that says, you know what? Cancel the season.
Say,
yep, we lose bets, but better. You know, better. We'll try it again.
Doug, and thanks for the call. The NBA, the NHL, and football have all done a better job in preparing for this, in dealing with this, in navigating through this. Baseball has done nothing but kick itself square in the groin over and over again. And it's amazing to me that there's just no remorse whatsoever for what's going on. None. Protests across the country. Cities literally burning earlier in the week in some instances. A pandemic that has seen the shutdown of the country and has seen unemployment reach 40 million in our country. 1 in 4 workers in the United States is unemployed. And the owners and players can't find a way to even acknowledge that anything is going on outside of their own world. Can't find a way. Don't play. Just go away. Honestly, go away. You've seen your franchises increase in value for years and years and years and years because of your dedicated fan bases. No, we can't possibly ever have any kind of a salary cap. No, we can't possibly ever agree to play 80 games before no fans because we'll just lose so much freaking money. You know, the Cubs, they may not have that large cash pile this year, but what's to say they can't reach back? What's to say they can't borrow? You have an incredibly valuable asset. One that has quadrupled in value during the time that you have owned it. And every owner will say the same thing. Well, it's only worth it when you sell it. Man, ask the Mets. That's true. 3 months ago, it was worth $2.6 billion. I don't know what it's worth right now. Because you had to keep one of the Wilpons in charge. Oh, to be a fly on the wall there. That family dinner.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Seems as if we have plenty of people lining up to play Beat the Fat Man this evening. Do we not, Joel Pollack?
Oh, wow. It's just entirely lit up. This is
Let's talk to a couple of our potential contestants. DJ and Whippity up first. Hello, DJ. How are you tonight?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. DJ, why should you get the opportunity to try to beat the Fat Man?
Well, because over the last two or three months, I've been watching entirely too much television. So hopefully I know what I'm talking about.
Hmm. How old are you, DJ?
I'm 33.
All right. Hang on. Let's check in with Tony in West Orange next. Hello, Tony.
Chris, how are you?
Tony, I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm getting ready for this big contest and we're ready to beat the fat man.
I can use a little Star Tavern pizza, Tony. Are you familiar?
Hey, if I beat you, I will buy you a pizza.
Are you familiar with Star Tavern?
Of course I am. I'm the head coach here at Seton Hall Women's Basketball for seven years, and I've gone many a times down there.
How old are you, Tony?
I am 54.
All right, hang on. Sam in Connecticut is next. Sam, how are you?
How's it going, fat boy?
Oh, fat boy. That's where we're going, huh? Not even fat man, a sign of some sort of respect. It's fat boy.
All right. You got to earn respect. You got to respect.
Oh, I see. I got you. Sam, what qualifies you for this game?
Well, I'm kind of in the same boat that you are. Grew up socially awkward. I'm still socially awkward, so I have a pretty good background on staying at home and watching TV. So,
all right, hang on, Sam. Ray in Freeport, next. Hello, Ray.
Hey, Chris. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you, Ray?
Very well. Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Are you on a speakerphone so all your friends can listen in on the questions?
No. There's just a bad echo in the apartment.
You think you know your stuff?
I think I do, and I think I have a question that'll stump you.
All right. Well, it's not about you asking me a question. It's about you answering questions. Hang on. Ezekiel and Clifton, who I believe called last night. Ezekiel, how are you?
Yeah, but I called last night. Hey, Chris. How are you?
You think you know your stuff, Ezekiel?
I think I do, yes.
Why would you think that?
I mean, I watch TV all day. I'm living my life, so... Okay. I don't know.
Hell of a sell job right there. Hang on, Ezekiel. All right, we're going to play with two contestants tonight. Joel Pollack, let's discuss. Joel, of course, the host of Beat the Fat Man, longest-running game show here on ESPN New York, no matter what they might say in the afternoons. We started it before them, you know, whatever, even though they just are confounded by whatever it could possibly be. Joel, let's talk.
How you feeling?
I feel great.
You feel great?
I feel like $100.
Well, then
I feel fantastic.
Then my suggestion is going to be that you take that confidence and slam Sam, who thought he was coming with a little bit of heat towards you.
Sam's socially awkward, though. I don't want to destroy him.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because I do see a little of myself in Sam. But I am going to give Sam the first opportunity. Sam? Sam, are you there?
Oh, man.
Are we in a wind tunnel?
Oh, Sam.
What the hell is going on, Sam? Is this alien?
Oh.
Oh, my God. Sam, you're out. Your phone is terrible. I feel terrible for you. I thought I was about to die. Seriously, didn't that sound like the thing in the coming out of the chest in Alien?
It's just something was happening over there. Some heavy breathing.
Well, time to call an audible there, Mr. Host. I think for game number one, I'm feeling our Seton Hall women's basketball coach. How about that?
Oh.
Tony in West Orange. As in Seton Hall University?
Yeah, Seton Hall University. A little Rutgers-Seton Hall battle here.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Well, it took me, like, I thinking, oh, high school, but Seton Hall prep is all boys. What am I talking about?
No, yes.
This is college, university. This is the Seton Hall women's basketball coach. Tony, you know, listen, I guess it's an interstate rivalry then, isn't it?
Yeah, we can make our own trophy if you want.
We could. My guess is you won't want to by the time I'm done with you.
Hey,
you ready?
Let's make the trophy a star tavern pizza. Here we go.
Hit the music.
Oh. down again.
Is your brain rotting with useless TV knowledge? Do you want to put your quarantine brain to goodish use? It's time to play Beat the Fat Man.
It is me, Chris Carlin, against Tony from West Orange. Tony, your full name, since you are the head coach of the Seton Hall women's basketball team.
Tony Bazella.
Tony Bazella. Joel Pollack is our host. Joel, please explain the rules.
Okay, guys, so here's the way it's going to work. I'm going to give each of you three questions, one each from the 80s, from the 90s, and 2000s television. You're going to have 10 seconds to answer each question. Now, whoever answers the most questions correctly is our winner. If the score is tied after three rounds, though, we're going to overtime. So the first one to win a round in overtime, if it goes that far, will be our winner. Now, our contestant's going to get the question first. So, Tony, you're going to go first. And during that time, we're putting Chris in isolation, so he won't be able to hear anything that's going on until he gets the question.
Sounds good to me.
We ready to go, Chris?
Now, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm ready.
May not in about 4 minutes. Let's find out. As Tony Bazella gets his chance to beat the Fat Man.
All right, here we go. Into the isolation booth you go, Chris. All right, Coach, from the 80s, what was the name of the school mistress in the TV show The Facts of Life?
I know it. Blonde hair, too. I know it.
Come on, give me something.
Emery.
Ooh, sorry. I know you probably, as soon as I say it, you're going to know it, but let's give it to Chris first. How you doing, Chris?
Oh,
here we go.
Just meditating as I like to do.
Just trying to feel the question, right? What was the name of the school mistress in the TV show The Facts of Life?
The school mistress? As in the woman who ran the school?
Mm-hmm.
That's Mrs. Garrett.
That is correct.
It is correct.
Coach did not get that right.
Oh, he didn't.
He did not. Chris, you've got a 1-0 lead.
Oh. Uh-oh. Charlotte Ray was the actress. Charlotte Ray.
Yep.
Going an extra level with the knowledge. Love it. All right, let's move on to the 90s.
It also started George Clooney's career, but who's counting?
Yeah.
Proven that he's got all the trivia answers. Let's see if we can get the 90s. All right, back to isolation you go.
90s now.
90s. On the TV show Saved by the Bell, what was the name of the beach club that the gang worked at?
Oh, jeez. My. Surf's Paradise?
Sorry, Coach. That's not correct. Chris, you with us?
I am.
Okay, 90s. On the TV show Saved by the Bell, what was the name of the beach club that the gang worked at?
Oh, the summer Saved by the Bell. Was that the Beverly Hills Beach Club? That was 2-0.
Malibu Sands Beach Club.
Malibu Sands. Early career move for Leah Remini.
That's right.
Malibu Sands.
Proving you know the show, even though you missed the question. But Coach did not get it right either. So still 1-0, Chris.
So this is it for Coach.
Yes, this is it. I need to make this shot.
All right.
Hold on for dear life.
Let's see how you handle 2000s. Chris to isolation. All right, Coach. What is the name of the board game invented by Ben Wyatt while unemployed on the TV show Parks and Recreation?
Cones of Dunshire.
That is correct.
Nice. Good one.
Woo.
Now let's see if Chris can get it for the win. Hang tight. Hiya, Chris.
Hi.
Okay. 2000s. What is the name of the board game invented by Ben Wyatt while he was unemployed on the TV show Parks and Recreation?
It begins with a D.
Gotta give me something.
Overtime.
That's right.
You got it.
He got it. It's the Cones of Dunshire.
Damn! I knew it.
Overtime.
The Cones of Dunshire. Damn. Damn, Tony. Damn.
We're going to overtime.
Wow. Going to overtime.
My salute to you for knowing that. The Cones of Dunshire. Damn it.
On the road.
I knew it was a D. Damn it all. I'm going to be haunted by that.
On the road, off the rack, I'm ready.
Okay, then we're going to go to overtime.
We're going to overtime. Settle down, cowboy.
All right, we're going to put Chris in isolation, and we're not going to tell him what era this question's from yet.
Okay.
All right, Coach, from the 90s hit sitcom A Different World, what spinoff of a popular 80s sitcom is it?
It's the one with the young kids.
I'm sorry. It's a spinoff of what show? Let me rephrase that. It was phrased poorly. The hit sitcom A Different World is a spinoff of what popular 80s sitcom?
Cosby Show. Yes.
That's right. We're still in it.
Woo!
All right. Let's go to Chris. Hiya, Chris.
Big one.
Hi.
He's going to get that one, though.
All right. This one is going to be from the 90s. The hit sitcom, A Different World, is a spinoff of what popular 80s sitcom?
The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Yep, Coach got it right as well.
Kadeem Hardison's a personal friend. Thanks. I could get him on the show right now if you wanted to. All right, let's go.
All right, we're going to go. On we go. Right back to isolation. You go, Chris.
Double overtime.
Just got to keep hitting those shots, Coach. Here we go. 2000s. What was the name of the American science fiction television series featuring Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonnell?
Oh, that's the easy one. Battlestar Galactica. Yeah.
Rocking and rolling, Coach. Let's see if Chris can get that as well. All right, here we go, Chris. What was the name of the American science fiction television series in the 2000s featuring Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonnell?
Oh, holy crap. American science fiction series. Mary McDonald, Edward James Olmos. Edward James Olmos, Mary McDonald.
Got to give me something.
I got nothing.
Come on, Jesus.
Coach, you just win?
Coach just got it right and took down Chris Carlin.
What was it?
The answer is Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, I was going to say that just for the hell of it, too. Oh, come on.
Congratulations, Coach.
That's garbage. Garbage.
Oh, you got to wear blue tomorrow.
No chance in hell.
That was fun.
I will never wear your powder blue, royal blue, whatever it is. Maybe you'll get a Star Tavern pizza out of me. I guess I should give you a minute on your team and how you're handling all of the situations going on right now, especially with the pandemic.
It has been unique. I'm proud of the ladies. They really, with the pandemic, have been great. They finished up school real well. And with what we're going through right now, we've had some talks. The girls have really stepped up. They've taught me a lot as, a man who's, not the same color as them. I'm really proud of the girls. It's really been a great learning experience for myself in a very difficult, terrible time. But we're going to all come out of it. And with leaders like these young women one day, us, Rutgers, great women like them, we'll come above this. I really believe that.
All right, Tony. And listen, that's great to hear. And I'm glad to hear that, especially with what's going on this past week or so, and that you're having these communications with your players. That's great. Tony Bazella, the head coach at Seton Hall of the women's basketball team, has beaten the fat man. Inconceivable as it is. Tony?
We had a great time. Thank you, Chris.
Tony, when we get back to normal, you don't just get the prize pack. You do get a Star Tavern pizza on me.
Sounds good to me.
All right, man.
Thanks.
Oh, Joel. How did I not get the Cones of Dunshire?
That was the one I really thought you were going to walk away with.
Yes. And I just couldn't remember Dunshire. And the other thing is, I honestly was going to throw out Battlestar Galactica, and I just should have thrown it. See, that's the lesson. If you just throw it out, and you never know. Because I am not a science fiction guy by any stretch.
Well, you know who put in that question.
Giselle Hernandez.
Of course. None other than the great.
All right, let's settle down. We'll see.
Well, as a little tease, he will be in on Monday.
Yes, he'll be our new host on Mondays. Can't wait for that. So he continues to try to embarrass me. I should have just thrown it out there. How did I not just throw it out there? I mean, I remember the old Battlestar Galactica. You know?
16 and 5
little
is
robot,
nothing.
Little robot, wiki.
16 and 5 is nothing to be sad about.
It's nothing to be proud of. Let's see if we can make that a little bit better when we come back.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Where are we going? Is it DJ or is it Ray?
I think it's got to be DJ because, you know, we've been picking guys who, you know, say they've been watching for a long time, who have the background. Let's see if somebody who's been sitting around during quarantine watching TV, catching up, can go head-to-head with you.
All right, DJ. I guess that means you.
I like it. How you guys doing?
Well, I was doing better about 15 minutes ago, but now I'm a broken man, and frankly, maybe ripe for the picking, or maybe redemption. Who knows? You get your shot. Don't even play the intro. Let's just do it.
All right, we'll jump right into it, and I'll throw you right in isolation, and we'll get this started.
Leap.
All right, DJ, you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Let's do it.
From the 80s, what was the name of Sheriff Roscoe Coltrane's dog on the Dukes of Hazzard? Got to give me something.
That was a Basset Hound.
Ooh, I'm sorry, that's not correct. Let's see if Chris can get it, though. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Okay, from the 80s, what was the name of Sheriff Roscoe Coltrane's dog on the Dukes of Hazzard?
Oh, his dog? Sidekick, you're going to ask me, you know, his sidekick, it's Enos, so I don't remember the name of the dog.
Then I got to buzz you. The answer is Flash, or Velvet Ears, as he goes by.
Did he know that?
No, he did not. It's 0-0.
His dog, that's a tough one. That's a tough question.
Well, if that's tough, then it's only going to get tougher because you know who writes these questions.
Great.
It's a formidable time in my life. Formidable. Is that the word? Formidable?
Formidable.
Whatever. Daisy Duke. I mean, you get the point.
All right. Back to isolation. Okay, here we go. From the 90s. In the TV show Home Improvement, what are the name of the three Taylor boys?
There was Jonathan, Taylor, Thomas.
Their character names, I'm sorry.
Okay, I know there was Randy.
Yep.
Brad.
Yep.
And the little one, was it Mark?
That's right, you got all three, good job. Let's see if Chris can get it as well. Hiya, Chris.
Hi.
In the 90s TV show Home Improvement, what are the character names of the three Taylor boys?
I mean, I know Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Well, they're character names, not the actors.
Oh, I know. Oh, God.
Oh, I'm just going to
buzz reaching down and I got nothing.
I saw that buzzer coming a mile away.
Oh.
Yeah. And sorry, but DJ got it right.
Wow.
You're trailing.
Trouble.
You're trailing going into
the
round.
What
are the names of stupid kids anyway? what are their names?
It's Mark, Randy, and Brad.
Ugh.
Sorry, buddy.
All right.
All right, let's go to round 3.
I don't really think you are right now. It feels like the world is, you know, against me. But that's just how it feels.
You know what? The world needs a win right now, and if you've got to take the L, so be it. Back to isolation you go.
Okay.
All right, here we go from the 2000s to put the win away. On the TV show Two and a Half Men, what character did Charlie Sheen's real father, Martin Sheen, play on the show?
Oh, God. I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Fair enough. Let's see if Chris knows it. If he doesn't, you've got the W. Hiya, Chris.
Is this going to be a suits question?
Not quite. Hey. It is a very famous and popular show, but it's not on the USA Network.
Okay.
On the TV show, Two and a Half Men, what character did Charlie Sheen's real father, Martin Sheen, play on the show?
Oh, God.
For the win.
Gotta give
his
something.
Father.
Oof. He didn't. DJ didn't get it right either, but he still leads 1-0, and that makes him our winner. The answer is Rose's father, Harvey.
Ooh, I'll take the win by default.
I'm going to need some time to recover.
Yeah.
This is my first 0-2 night.
This was a rough night, Chris.
This was a rough, rough night, and it all started with the Cones of Dunshire. That's where it just went to pieces.
You just
and
crumbled.
I couldn't scrape myself up off the floor.
You spiraled. You couldn't recover.
I really did. I spiraled, and I was absolutely lost. And now I got to go look myself in the mirror after this.
Like, and you're the guy who watches all. DJ claimed that he said it only for the last 3 months has he been binging.
I'm an embarrassment. I'm an embarrassment. DJ, congratulations. You did win by default, but I didn't give you much of a challenge right there. DJ,
I'll take what I can get.
You win a prize pack. Congratulations. And I'm going to go home and tell my mom I'm a flop.
Ugh. That was rough.
That was rough. 9:31. Oh, Joel, what happened?
Like, you lost 1-0.
I mean,
rough.
How does that happen?
How did you feel about the questions? Because normally, if a loss
they're
occurs,
they're fair questions.
They were
they're
fair,
just
right?
Shows that they're fair questions. They are just the. I thought the Roscoe dog question was tough, but that's okay.
Tough is okay.
I don't mind a tough question. My big problem here is that Home Improvement and Two and a Half Men, like, all right, I've watched a lot of TV. I have not watched a lot of Two and a Half Men. I haven't.
It was on for 9 years.
I know, and it was so popular, but it was not my thing. And, you know, I saw the episode that had, like, the first ever appearance of Megan Fox. You know, I saw that. You know, Charlie's mother was the woman who was on Bosom Buddies, the Tom Hanks Peter Scolari vehicle back in the 80s. These are things that I know, but I didn't know them inside and out well enough. And thus, here we are.
So that's another popular show. We said That 70s Show was one you had to brush up on, and now Two and a Half Men.
Well, Two and a Half Men, I'm just...
We're just... Forgetting
yeah,
it.
I'm going to have to watch it, I guess.
All right, all of it.
I'm still, here's the thing. You can't be what I claim to be. And tonight I say not what I am, what I claim to be. And not know those shows inside and out.
I got to agree.
You know what I am right now? Rattled. I'm rattled. And I feel... good, yet somewhat apprehensive at the fact that we will bring this back tomorrow night on its normal evening, Friday night. But it's a lot of soul searching to do between now and then, I think it's safe to say.
You're going to need it.
800-919-3776. We continue, rather we finish up with you on the phones for the next half hour or so, whether it be on Major League Baseball and the Players Association making a statement tonight. If you're just joining us, we will revisit that in just moments and why the Knicks actually have a desirable job right now and, frankly, why they shouldn't even play baseball this year. It's Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. I'm a broken man.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.